everyone, welcome to the Clifford Chance InsurTech Trends podcast series, where experts from our global insurance sector team will be exploring themes and issues related to InsurTech. My name is Julia Chabanian, I'm an associate in our financial institutions group, and you are listening to the first podcast in the series, InsurTech 101, where we will discuss what InsurTech means, the main participants, and some of the technology and use cases in the market. Finally, we will touch on the key regulatory themes that are relevant to the market. So I'm joined today with Emma and Ashley from our FIG group. I'll hand over to them to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Emma Eaton, a senior associate in the London Financial Institutions team. I work with a variety of clients on all manner of non-contentious projects in the life and non-life insurance and reinsurance market, and I'm very pleased to be taking part in this InsurTech podcast series.
Hi, I'm Ashley Preble, and I'm a partner in our financial institutions group, and I focus on work in the insurance sector and global head of our insurance group here at Clifford Chance. I'm delighted to have an opportunity to speak to you all today about InsurTech.
Thank you both. So let's start. FinTech is a very familiar and accepted term. InsurTech is its sector-specific equivalent term, but there seems to be some mystery about what it actually captures and what kind of businesses qualify as an InsurTech. So can you give us an introduction as to what InsurTech means?
Sure, I'll take this one. So there's no agreed definition, I would say. It's basically a neat combination of the words insurance and technology. But the buzz has been created, obviously, by developments in technology. So opening new routes to market, and that's probably got the greatest impact for emerging markets where there's less established distribution networks. We've got new products, developments in underwriting and back office processing, data collection, data analytics and so on. A better customer experience, crucially, and ideally competition between providers.
So really it's technology, the critical thing, and the use of technology that's driving this interest.
In yes, insurance. Yes, it's definitely tech innovations are at the heart of InsurTech.
So what sort of technology is actually behind innovation in the insurance sector?
I'd start with mobile technology and apps. I think they underpin a lot of the improvements for customers. It's very important in markets with younger demographics, of course, who are used to making purchases on their smartphones and using associated technology like their cameras, etc. Cloud computing's revolutionised the sector. There's a lot about data and what AI and machine learning can bring to the sector. So that can mean anything from improving data collection and analytics, which I've mentioned already, to creating alternatives like robo-advice or automated advice, instant underwriting and claims decisions and so on. And there's also the Internet of Things, which allows greater collection of data from new data sources, and that then feeds into your AI and machine learning.
Mm. So you've mentioned quite a broad range of things there. As there's no single definition, what might the term InsurTech capture? Would this include incumbent insurers?
So what InsurTech has definitely led to is a new lexicon. For example, you've referred there to incumbent insurers, and I think that's almost something that comes out of InsurTech, which talks really around incumbent insurers being the history and InsurTechs being, to an extent, the future. Or at least that's how it was talked about 5 or 6 years ago. Certainly InsurTech, at that stage, there was a discussion whether it was going to be a revolution or an evolution in the market. And that was a genuine debate, as people thought that there was the potential for real disruption. And that hasn't proved to be the case, really. It has clearly been a case of evolution. And what we see really is, if we think of InsurTech as a use of technology to drive innovation, that can include incumbent insurers, I think, within that. And we're seeing incumbent insurers partnering often with younger, perhaps more agile InsurTech businesses to drive innovation. We also see InsurTech being used, I think, for providers of tech services to the InsurTech industry. Emma and I, for example, went a couple of weeks ago to an InsurTech conference here in London, which had 5,000 attendees. And it was striking to see how many service providers there were there who were tech providers to not just insurers, but other financial services, or just generally other providers. So it's now got its own ecosystem. It's developed to that level where it requires that level of collaboration. So I think now it's really an umbrella term, something like capturing innovation in the insurance sector through the value chain using technology with a real focus on cost savings, efficiency, and customer experience.
Okay, so given it's quite the evolution and that there are these value chain vertical partnerships and collaborations between incumbents and new entrants, does it really matter if we can't define InsurTech, like from a regulatory standpoint?
I think having a separate term might be significant from things like a technology sales, business, product marketing perspective, and perhaps a management perspective internally. It's probably got benefits to be able to pinpoint what you're talking about, but taking it back to our specific area of expertise, as in, you know, law and regulation, there is no significance from a regulatory perspective, at least in the UK and Europe, as to whether you're an InsurTech or not. You're either an insurer, an intermediary, or some other kind of financial services regulated company, or you're not regulated. You're a pure tech provider. So there isn't, you know, InsurTech specific regulation at the moment. There are calls for it to be retired as a term because some people find it so confusing. But on the other hand, it's probably helpful, I think, to have a theme or some sort of category distinguishing between InsurTech and FinTech in particular, because arguably insurance does need some focused support because of its unique nature. So you're drawing together sector experts and from across the industry to help drive change in the industry. I think that's what's important about having this term.
Okay. Ashley, we discussed what it means. Now, can you please briefly explain who are the chief players in InsurTech?
Absolutely. So let's take two categories, I think, to begin with. It's probably the most common in the sector at the moment, which is the first one is MGAs or intermediaries, who will act as client interface, customer facing, provide the products, albeit those products are backed by insurance companies, incumbent insurers, because those MGAs don't have the license to write new business. It's quite a common platform. It's easier to get those licenses as an intermediary in UK, Europe, US, and we see that commonly occurring. There are some, but at the moment very few, who have applied for and obtained licenses to become what's called a full stack insurer, which is in other words an insurer within the same group of companies, which enables them to take on that risk themselves. This second model is the of tech companies providing a service to insurers or intermediaries. So software as a service, SaaS tech companies is their term of art. Coming back to my point on the new lexicon that's created in InsurTech, that's the alternative. And they can be providing administration support services, whether that can be through the use of fraud detection technology services, whether that can be used through drones, for example, that can provide loss adjustment services for agri insurance and various other types of examples. So that's how you see that. But what you can see is that it creates an ecosystem. And all of those different parts absolutely require incumbent insurers, that term again, to support that ecosystem.
Thanks. And Emma, could you please expand on how incumbents and startups fit together in this InsurTech universe?
Sure. I think that's a good question. And the recent conference that Ashley mentioned earlier, we heard from somebody on the stage, one of the panels, that there's few good examples of InsurTechs and incumbents working together in terms of acquisitions. I think differences in culture in particular are cited as key problems for combining businesses. It's the difference between the entrepreneurial mindset and the governance of a regulated group, particularly large groups, that seem to be causing issues. So how do they fit together? I think there's different ways, but what underpins it, I think, is the regulatory angle. It's expensive to comply with regulation and it's difficult for completely new market entrants to get to grips with it. So startups obviously need incumbent. There aren't many examples of startups that are actually full stack insurers. As Ashley has mentioned, a lot of them end up being intermediaries, and what they need is a full stack insurer behind them, a carrier, someone to provide the capital in order for them to go off and sell and distribute the whizzy products that they're coming up with. So from the incumbent's perspective, there are different ways of partnering with these new companies. I think in maybe the last 8 years or so, there was a lot of investment, particularly I think the majority of investment went to US-based tech companies, and those saw minority investments. Some were strategic acquisitions, some are just partnerships. You have incumbents who've created their own VC arms, so they use those to basically get a foothold in whatever the latest development is and try and, I guess, try and prevent other people nabbing that idea as well. Some of the incumbents have established their own incubators, so again, that introduces them to entrepreneurs, so they host entrepreneurs and get access to the latest developments that way. We've talked about briefly about strategic investments. Of course, that's another way of getting, building a relationship with these tech companies, and partnerships are a similar theme to that. And then, of course, there's buying your own team or building your own team in-house, which again, quite a lot of incumbents have done. So they have their own proprietary technology, but that might be combined with buying in from other providers to sort of supplement gaps in your offering. But I think post-pandemic, and obviously with the current economic environment, it's moved from what might have been speculative investment from the last, 8 to 10 years, where you do want to be the first to identify the next big thing, to more thought through and strategic investments and partnerships. So I think there's a better understanding between incumbents and insurtechs and what each of them can offer and the best way for them to work together.
And what kinds of improvements has InsurTech brought to the market? Perhaps let's start with the benefits for customers first, Ashley.
You'll find quite a lot of papers online about InsurTechs as solving a problem that insurance had previously. And the problems that they would talk about were a lack of trust in insurers, a frustration with the binding process of taking out a policy is being too complex, as insurers being too clunky from a technology perspective, and also being too slow to pay claims. And I think one of the areas where insurtechs have felt that there is an opportunity to disrupt is in those areas. So it's very much around customer facing. Can the customer experience be improved through the use of technology? And that could be a whole variety of different things. So it's often designing products which enable you to take them out in a matter of minutes on a mobile phone, through an app, and through taking photographs, for example, of your bike or your motor vehicle or whatever it would take. And is that enough information to allow you to take out that policy? Can you get claims paid, again, in a matter of minutes if you provide that information through the use of technology? So all of those things are really designed to be customer focused. The other point to pick up, I think, is the use of data and different strands of data that can be used from an underwriting perspective to provide more bespoke insurance solutions. So that could be anything largely, but wearable tech is one that people talk about a lot. The use of that data to assess health and well-being, to enable underwriters to better assess the appropriate premium for that person's life insurance risks, for example, or health insurance risks. And they talk there about prevention as well. So can you encourage people to live a healthier lifestyle in order to reduce their premiums, to reduce the likelihood of claims, to find a better solution for both policyholder and insurers? So that is really some of the areas where I think InsurTech has thought about from a customer perspective, and is addressing some of those historic concerns around the insurance industry.
Mm. I actually wrote Ulife, an InsurTech firm that had a £75 million investment. It's developed, as you said, this customer-facing app. It's developed a wellness app, mm-hmm. That employees, party to the Ulife pension scheme, can take out. And you can basically track your health and earn U coins as you go along, and yeah. You can compare it to your employees, to your colleagues, and
I'm not quite sure what this data is then being useful for the modeling calculation, but it's quite interesting because it's changed the way that customers interact with and see
that. Sort of gamifying insurance. The experience, isn't it?
That's exactly why. I mean, you're trying to make the product fun in a world where no one thinks insurance is fun, I think, realistically. And I think there's some of these products are really designed in that way. But that Ulife product is very interesting. And I think what it does is it mixes a whole series of strands from InsurTech. It's the gamification piece, it's the use of the app, it's the prevention, it's the better use of data, and it's the mixing of the insurance proposition and embedding it, and we'll talk about that in a moment, embedding it in a larger ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Ulife app is not just about that insurance product, it's about other things as well at the same time. So it's quite a good example, Julia, there of really how you can develop something that just goes beyond, I'm just going to sell you a life insurance product.
Mm. Interesting. I want to get this app now. So we've spoken about customers. What about for insurers and intermediaries? What have some of the benefits been for them?
Well, I think from an insurer's perspective, so an incumbent insurer, what do they get from a relationship with InsurTech or seeing InsurTech? Work through, I think for a start, it's given a bit of a kickstart to some people's businesses, making sure that they really think about technology from a different angle because they've seen the threat of InsurTechs and had to develop themselves quicker. So that will be from a series of different things. They've got new sources of data, better data aggregation, better ability to price, use of artificial intelligence, machine learning and data analytics, and all of that should enable better pricing, efficiencies, back office processing, reducing errors, and better underwriting decisions. Now, that's the theory. Whether we get there or not is going to be an interesting proposition. Do customers like this product, these products? Are these products going to be profitable? I mean, that's again another key theme that we're seeing at the moment is InsurTech businesses moving away from being focused on the top line to being much more focused on the bottom line. And again, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Mm. So ideally, those are the benefits that it brings. But everyone talks about how insurance is such a highly regulated industry and how it can cause issues and barriers for new market entrants. Emma, what would you say are currently the main regulatory issues for InsurTech industry?
I think there's an ongoing discussion about the role of policy and regulation in both fintech and insurtech, particularly around broader topics like the use of AI and machine learning in financial services. But generally speaking, the regulators around the world recognise that new technology ought to bring improvements for customers and lower prices, better experiences, etc. But there's also the known, but worse, the unknown risks that it might bring. So they are cautious as well. I think the key issues, therefore, around accountability and internal controls is a big one. So governance, the demands placed on management and boards to oversee appropriate deployment of new technology and ensure compliance with whatever regulation is out there. And there's only one direction of travel here with more emphasis, I think, on accountability and governance. Conduct rules. Clearly, everybody who's playing in the space needs to be aware of the conduct rules. So even if you're not an insurer, even if you're a SaaS provider or an intermediary who's regulated, you obviously need to be aware of the conduct rules because there are tensions between the advances in the speed of technology. So Ashley's mentioned, speed of delivery of claims or the ability to actually underwrite a product. So there's tensions between that and improving the customer experience versus the requirements, demands and needs for product information, for example, and how you explain terms and conditions in a policy. How do you do that on an app, especially when it comes to embedded insurance, which is supposed to be a seamless process where some people have described it as you're not even aware that you're buying an insurance product. Well, that's a discussion for another day, I think. There's data protection, there's rules about collection, storage, processing and retention of data, and that's a cross-border issue with potential for huge fines if you get it wrong, at least in Europe and the UK. That's certainly the case under GDPR. We've mentioned AI machine learning a number of times, and there's obviously people no doubt be aware of the discussions around discrimination with AI. And that also captures non-financial services laws as well. So things like equalities laws, so you need to be aware of things that are outside of the insurance sector regulation as well in that context. And then there's the licensing and prudential requirements, which of course are predominantly there to protect consumers, but ultimately they creating barriers to new market entrants, and there's the tension there between protecting the markets and customers whilst allowing innovation. You know, it's the competition versus choice of customer versus protection issue. So there's quite a few issues, basically, for insurtech.
I mean, I think that's why. And just to add to that, and we hear this a lot in discussion, is a lot of nascent insurtech businesses are operated by entrepreneurs and tech-savvy people who don't have a regulated industry background. So they don't have regulation as the top of their list of things to worry about, but they are operating in a highly regulated industry. When they partner with incumbent insurers or are acquired by incumbent insurers, you see that tension between that desire to innovate and push the envelope as against an incumbent insurer, particularly with their highly sophisticated legal and compliance teams and models looking at those risks. And it's really trying to find that balance. So there's quite a lot of tension built into the insurtech ecosystem, which is fascinating for us, I think, from that perspective. And I think it puts some challenges in front of regulators. They have to think about not killing innovation, where that innovation is really going to help drive a greater customer experience and a more efficient process. But on the flip side, also protecting policyholders and protecting the financial services system overall.
So it seems to me, given the discussion so far, the definition of what actually is insurtech is less important, but rather we should be focusing on, has there been a true revolution in the industry, or what are the incremental steps that we need to take to kind of overcome some of these barriers?
I think there's lots of opinions here. There's obviously been an awful lot of money that's been invested globally over the last 8 to 10 years in insurtech. There's, as Ashley mentioned at this conference that we went to, there are a lot of startups that have been established, but most of those that we see are pure tech players. There's lots of insurtech conferences to attend. There's divisions set up at consultancy firms with experts in insurtech. There's advisory bodies that have been established, you know, to champion insurtech. But in my view, the incumbents largely retain their market share in the major lines of business, particularly in the UK and the US. And again, in my view, the product that is sold remains very recognisable.
Sorry, so given all of that, what can we agree on about insurtech?
Well, from my perspective, I think we can agree that it's been an evolution, not a revolution. And that was a debate, as I say, sort of 6 or 7 years ago, where people were really starting to look at insurtech. I think, as Emma has said, the products themselves may be very recognisable, but there are absolutely some features to them that are different and interesting. The speed to market, the speed of payment of claims, the use of technology in innovative areas, I think is absolutely fantastic, and I think it's really helped drive some parts of the industry forward. I think the challenges facing the industry around the use of insurtech are very much data-based. I mean, you're using huge amounts of data. From a privacy perspective, customers and businesses aren't expecting always that data to be used in that way. Making sure that you're using that data in a compliant, fair, non-prejudicial manner, whether you're using AI or not, is a real challenge, I think, from an insurtech business going forward.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think, you know, firms are clearly adopting the new technology that's out there. And I think it's only a good thing that they're improving all aspects of the insurance life cycle. So insurtech, I think, obviously is a good thing.
So that wraps up our first episode. You have been listening to the Clifford Chance Insurtech Trends podcast series. Please feel free to get in contact with Ashley or Emma or any of our
Clifford Chance contacts if you would like to know more about any of the topics in this podcast series. Thank you for listening.